So this morning I'm excited because I've invited one of our new young leaders coming into our church, Brian LaCasco, to give our sermon this morning, and he's pretty fired up. You guys are in for a treat this morning. Would you welcome Brian here this morning?
Thanks, Pastor.
Before we start, though, Brian, so Brian and Mia Busby and Summer Clark are actually leading our young adults. Why don't you just take a minute to talk about what's going on, what you guys are covering, when you're meeting. And if you're in that age bracket out of high school, under 30, you're really missing if you're not there. It's a great opportunity to get some good connection and good care and ministry. So share a little bit about that and then turn it over to you, Brian.
Okay, thanks, Pastor. Hey, guys, good morning. The young adult group, we meet on Thursday nights, and we're up in the community room. We're there at 7 o'clock, but it's a great time to be able to come together, hang out, and one of the things we're really doing right now is we're pursuing identity. We're really digging in, seeing we're doing a massive study on the book of Ephesians, and what we're doing is we're wanting to see two things. First of all, God, who are you? Because it's impossible to know who we are until first we can identify who God is. Does that make sense? Then once we figured out who God is and once we figure out who we are, then we can figure out, what are we doing here? What does God have for us to do? What is all this about? We've got college, we've got careers, we've got all these things, marriages and kids and all these things, and what do we do with all that? And that's the stuff that we're digging into. And so it's really amazing. It's super fun. Power of the Holy Spirit is just all over the place. The presence of God is super rich and super thick. And there's always just the gifts of the Spirit and so on are really, really just free-flowing. And, you know, guys, we really invite you to come out and join us because we would love to have you be a part of that. It's lots of fun. All right. So anyway, as Pastor Dave mentioned, my name is Brian, and I am joined this morning, and we've been joined by my wife, my beautiful wife, Jennifer, who is the love of my life for the last 16 years. Is that, Chip, is that going to, I don't know if I'm making a problem here. Let's try that. See if that works a little better. Yes, Jen, I've got three beautiful little daughters, Nuri, Gabby, and Abigail. They're back in the classes this morning, and they're just the most amazing family that I could ever have asked God for, and I'm just so thankful for who they are and all that in my life. Really, before anything else, I just want to take a second, Pastor Dave, and say thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to share with this church. You guys have been amazing to us. We've been in ministry, pastoral ministry, for about the last 16, 17 years, and we had a major transition in our lives back in February, which found us here, and you guys have just been an amazing family to us, bringing a lot of peace, a lot of healing, and just, you've been amazing, and we're just so thankful for all that you've done for us. So, hope we can get into this morning. Before I do, I want to share this, if this is okay. So, a man goes and he visits God. And he says, God, do you mind if I ask you a few questions? And God said, no, sure, ask me anything you want. And so the guy says, well, God, you've been around for a really long time. Like, you've been around kind of forever. And God says, well, yeah, that's right. And he says, well, how long is 1,000 years? How long is that? And God replied, he says, well, for me, 1,000 years, it's like a day. It's only a day. And so the guy says, oh, okay, well, that's really interesting. He said, so, like, $1,000,000 is probably like a penny to you, right? And God's like, yeah, it's a penny. To me, it's a penny. You can throw it in the fountain. Guy says, okay, can I ask you one more question? God says, sure. Again, ask me anything you want. He says, well, God, can I borrow a penny? And God's reply was awesome. God said, sure, just give me a day to work on it. All right. Well, we're going to get into this morning. We've been digging into the whole Second Chances series here at VCC. And I don't know about you, but I have been extremely blessed by this whole Second Chances series because it shows me that you and I can have second chances. How many of you love the thought that God is a God of second chances? He's not a God of, hey, you've got one shot at this. You better get it right. And if you don't, I'm going to smash you. Thank God that that's not his nature. You know, some people think that that's God's nature, but it's not. And if all you do is you turn to his word, you'll find that that's not who he is. So let's dig into this morning, and this whole, we're going to continue on with second chances. How many of you have ever read the stories in the Old Testament about Israel and the times where Israel is in massive idolatry? You read the story. How many of you have ever read the story, like, with Aaron and the golden calf? Moses goes up on the mountain, down at the bottom, here they are. I mean, they just had this amazing God experience, and they're down making a golden calf, bowing down, oh, calf, you've saved us. You took us through the water. And if you're anything like me, you read that and you're like, what's wrong with you people? This is like crazy idolatry, and you know who God is. What is wrong with you? Or you keep reading and you read about the Asherah poles and the high places and the altars of Baal, right? All in Israel. And I just shake my head and I'm thinking, what is wrong with you people? Of all people on the planet, you should know who God is. And I kind of get a little frustrated. You know, I get frustrated with people in history that don't know God. As if I'm some major expert on who God is. I'm thinking, what's wrong with you people? Anybody else like that? Am I alone? All right, there's four of us here that have thought that. Okay, well, for the four of us, I want to share with you about a guy in the scriptures who had this same thought. There was a guy in the Word, as he would read the Word, he would think like we do. He would read the Torah, he would read the Old Testament stories, and he would get really frustrated as he read about the idolatry and the blaspheming. And he would think, my goodness, how could my countrymen, how could my forefathers, how could they do this? This is ridiculous. There's one God, the one true God, the God of all creation, the God of the universe, God. He's the only God. And his heart was set for that God. And he was zealous for Israel and wanted to prevent Israel from ever slipping back into the temptations and the blaspheming and the idolatry. He wanted to stand as a vanguard to prevent the nation from slipping back into the destruction that always followed the idolatry. And so, this guy that I'm talking about, does anybody know who I'm talking about? His name was Saul of Tarsus. I'm pretty sure of Tarsus wasn't his last name. Maybe it was. We'll go with that today. But Saul of Tarsus, and I want to pick up on this regularly scheduled program already in progress, in Acts chapter 8. Why don't you join with me? I think we're going to put it up on the screen. So Acts chapter 8. Now Saul, here's our guy, reads the Torah, has a firm stance on what's right, no idolatry, no blaspheming. I want my nation to be safe and procured in the blessings of God. Now Saul was consenting to Stephen's death. Previously in chapter 7, there was one of the men from the early church who had been preaching about Jesus. And they got together and they stoned him. They killed him. So that's who Stephen is. Consenting to Stephen's death. Now, at that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. They were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, dragging off men and women, and committing them to prison. So here's this guy, Saul, as he's experiencing all these things. But see, here's the thing. I have a spoiler alert for you. Okay, we're just going to cut right to the chase. Spoiler alert. So here's this guy, Saul, and I guarantee you that at this point in Acts, how many of you, like me, when you read Acts for the first time and you came up to chapter 8, you're reading about this guy, Saul, who wreaked havoc on the church. When I read that wreaked havoc, that didn't mean a whole lot to me. I mean, I read that he dragged them off to prison, you know, and he consented to the death of Stephen. And I think, well, that's pretty bad. But the phrase there when it says he wreaked havoc on the church, in the original language, in the original Greek, that word wreaked havoc is a very violent word. It's a very aggressive, hostile word that literally means, the word picture that we can give you is it's like a wolf that would ravage a flock of sheep. Can you get that image in your mind, what a wolf would do with a flock of sheep? He's not going to play and hang out and, you know, touch the wool of the sheep and, oh, nice woolly sheep. It's so nice. It's just a little sheepy. He's not doing that. He's going in with his fangs bared, ready to get some sheep. He wants some mutton for dinner, if you get what I'm saying. And this is what he's doing in this early, into the early church. He's wreaking havoc, violence and destruction, kicking down doors, dragging people off to prison. People like you and me, early believers, right? The ones who stand upon Jesus Christ, he's dragging them off to prison for their belief in Christ. But see, when we read this, like I did the first time I read it, I come to Acts chapter 8, it never dawned on me. I could never anticipate it as I'm reading this, that in just one chapter, I would be reading that this guy who was so zealous to destroy the early church, who was so zealous for the nation of Israel, I would never imagine in 1,000 years that one chapter later, this same guy would be just as zealous, a spirit-filled, zealous prophet of the early church who would go in and he would preach. He would travel land and sea to preach, first to the synagogue Jews and then to the Gentiles about this Jesus. I mean, can you imagine that? That's an amazing turnaround. That's such an amazing transformation that occurred in this guy's life. And this speaks volumes to you and me about second chances, doesn't it? Let me ask you this, regarding this man Saul, who later he became the one that we know as Paul the Apostle. So God changed both his first and his last name. He wasn't Paul of Tarsus, now he's Paul the Apostle, which is a pretty cool last name. If it can't be Diani, because there's so many Dianis, I'm sure they were all over the place, even in the early church. Actually, funny story. So when we first came to the church, Summer Clark, who many of you have known since she was a child, we didn't know anybody. And so, you know, she's like, oh, that's so-and-so, and that's so-and-so. But as she was telling me so-and-so and so-and-so, the so-and-sos always had Diani after so-and-so. And so I would start asking, like, when I would go up to meet people, I would say, hi, are you a Diani? And so many people were like, well, yeah, which is hilarious. So, but as he changed this man, Saul, into Paul, we found this amazing transformation. But here's what I want to look at. I want us to just examine, how did this second chance take place? What really happened in this transition? That's what I want us to look at here. Saul was basing his ravaging of the church on his interpretation of what God had said. Okay? Saul didn't just get this great idea like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go kick down the doors and just take all these people out. He was basing what he did, his behavior, on what he thought God had said. Because he was, listen, Saul wasn't reading Buddha, he wasn't reading Allah, he wasn't reading Shiva, he was reading the Torah. And what he found in the Torah was God's commands to a purity for the people of God regarding the Lord and his word. And Saul was doing what he thought was right based on what God had said about purity in his nation. And so Paul was going with that thought in mind that I'm going to base what I'm doing on what God had said. Because after all, how many of you would agree that blasphemy and idolatry are not good? I think we can all agree. Blasphemy and idolatry are just horrible. Totally not right. But see, here's the thing. Here's the message, essentially, that the early church was preaching, okay? God, the great God of the universe, who at just the spoken word caused planets to just spin off of his tongue. At the spoken word, he could create man and all his complexity. At the spoken word, he created mountains and sun, moon, stars, all these things. This is the great God, the one true God. But this God of the universe became a man who was a carpenter who lived in, literally in the first century, what was considered, even by them, the backwater territory of Israel in Nazareth. And if you believe in the message that this guy preaches, you'll be saved. Can you imagine what that would have been like hearing to a man like Saul who stood with a zealousness for what God had said in his word? Can you imagine how that must have felt? And so he was ravaging the church based on doing what he thought God had said. Yeah. But here's the thing. Even though his intentions were good, how many of you know the old phrase about good intentions? Yeah. Even though his intentions were good, the problem here was that Saul's heart was hardened to what God was saying. See, the part that we have to keep in mind is that God has said stuff, but how many of you know God is currently saying things right now? And he gives us the presence of his Holy Spirit so that you and I can hear right now, present tense, what God is saying. I thank God for what he has said, and there is absolutely no substitute for what God has said. Let me put it like this. So if I'm walking with one of my children across the street, right, there's cars coming and so on, so I tell my daughter, stop, stop. And what does she do? She stops. And then when the car comes and they stop and they wave us on, I say to my child, okay, come on. So I had said stop. But if she's going to live her entire life on what Dad had said, she's going to stay on that curb the rest of her life. I'm in the middle of the street, meanwhile, going, come on, let's go. And she's like, no, 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 you said stay here. And I'm saying, yes, I said that. Thank you for paying attention, but let's go. While this car is now inching forward, like, come on, move, move. Beep, beep, beep. And I'm like, come on, let's go, let's move. We have to base our lives, yes, on what has been said, because we can't hear otherwise, but we've got to be able to understand what is being said now, currently. Does this make sense? Let me put it like this. Turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 17, and we have it up on the screen. Simple scripture. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Interesting, isn't it? You know who wrote this, actually? The apostle. I used his last name. Paul the Apostle, he wrote this. He said, faith comes by hearing, present tense, now. Faith comes now by hearing, in the present. Not, it doesn't say, now faith comes by having heard. Faith is a present tense experience that gives us entrance into the supernatural of God. Paul talks about it in another place. He says that the temporal, the things that we see, they're temporal. They're vanishing. It's going away. But the things that we can't see, those are the things that are eternal. And what he's saying here is that faith comes by hearing right now in the present tense. If I'm hearing what God is saying presently, I can enter into that whole new realm. And I'm not bound by the natural. I'm not bound by the physical. Listen, we're not bound when the doctor gives a bad report and the doctor says, well, you know, I'm sorry. We just, you know, there's this disease that you're going to have to face the rest of your life. We're not bound by the testimony of the doctors. Thank God for the doctors. Amen. Thank God for the doctors and the work that God has given to them to do to help us to heal our bodies and so on. But we're not limited by the natural realm. Because in the present tense, we can hear the voice of God, and what he's saying through faith is that there's another option. Paul's heart was hardened. Saul couldn't hear what God was saying because he was so fixated on what had been said. How many of you know when you have a hard heart, it's very difficult to hear God? I've been there. Has anybody else been there? Your heart is hardened. Something happened. You've become frustrated with life and with people, and you harden your heart against the things of God, and then all of a sudden it's like, God, where are you? Does anybody know what that's like? I know what that's like. It's a miserable place to be. And God says, I don't want you to have to be that way. I want your heart to be moldable by my hand, moldable by my spirit. But you have to be able to hear what I'm saying. Let me illustrate this biblically. How many of you remember the story of Abraham and Sarah? They were very, very old, promised a child, never had any child. She was barren throughout all her years. God said, I'm going to give you a child. And they're like, okay. That's a good one. She gets pregnant, has a child. It's Isaac, this beautiful baby Isaac. God, you know, the child grows. God says, okay, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice Isaac to me. Oh, okay. So God gets Isaac, gets the wood, gets the rope, the whole deal. They go up on the side of the mountain. The boy says, Dad, I see the wood. I see the altar. Where's the sacrifice? And this very old man puts his hand on the head of his promised son, and he says, son, God will provide. As tears stream down his cheeks because of what he knows he's preparing to do to his boy. Takes the boy, lashes him to the altar, gets the wood ready, gonna get the fire ready to burn and consume his child because God had said, offer me your child. God had said, give me your child. My goodness. Pulls out his knife, getting ready to plunge the knife into that child. And God speaks. God says, Abraham! Abraham says, what? He says, you've honored my word. You listened to what I had said. But you're listening now to what I'm saying. Can you imagine if Abraham would only have lived his life based on what God had said? The promise of Israel, the promised child, all of these things, the whole Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we wouldn't have had that. But Abraham chose to listen to what God was saying, present tense. All of this is in light of second chances. How many of you remember in the New Testament the story of Jesus and the woman caught in adultery? Here's this woman. The word says that Jesus is there in the marketplace, and they drag this woman in front of Jesus. And the word says they start saying to Jesus, Jesus, Rabbi, right? They always called him Rabbi when they were trying to catch him. They said, Rabbi, we found this woman caught in adultery in the very act. The word says that we should stone her. What do you say? They're trying to trap him because they're basing everything on what had been said. The law is clear. The penalty for adultery was a stoning. So they all start picking up rocks, and as they're picking up rocks to get the biggest, nice ones to heave at this woman to kill her, Jesus bends down in the dirt, and he's just kind of writing on the dirt. And nobody knows really what he was doing while he was in the dirt, but I get the thought that as he was sitting there writing in the dirt, the Father was talking to him. Because how many of you remember, Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing, and I only say what I hear the Father saying. And I believe the Father was talking to him, and as he was stooped in the dirt and he's got his finger in the dirt, God was talking to him about how God made Adam out of the dirt of the ground. And he's remembering about God's loving heart towards his people and God's desire. And God speaks to Jesus in that moment, and God must have said, mercy triumphs over judgment. Every time, mercy triumphs over judgment. Jesus, this woman gets a second chance. So Jesus stood up and he said, you're right, the law says that. But I say to you, it also says, you who are without sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. The word says that one by one, from the oldest to the youngest, they dropped their stones and went away. This woman's life was saved. Because someone took the time to hear what God was saying, not just what had been said. So here we are in our story in Acts, and we find this impressional, this amazing point that we've got to live by, that God is speaking. Saul needed to hear the voice of God for his second chance. Saul needed to hear God speak to him, so that the second chance could be initiated. You don't have to turn there, but in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, God, who at various times and seasons spoke before to our fathers by the prophets, now he's speaking to us through his Son, Jesus. And can I just tell you this morning that some of you are sitting here and you're here this morning saying, God, I need to hear from you. I have to hear from you, Lord. I need your voice. And I want to tell you that Jesus is speaking to you this morning. Jesus is reaching out to you. He's speaking to you. He's drawing your heart to speak to you about what we're dealing with this morning in terms of the second chances. And when we find here that the word says that Jesus is speaking, Jesus needed to speak to this man Saul. So turn with me real quick to Acts chapter 9 as we finish out. Acts chapter 9. One chapter away from where we started in verse 8. That's a pretty amazing turnaround, isn't it? That your life could be in the span of a chapter. That's awesome. In Acts chapter 9, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder, real nice guy, against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus. Right? It wasn't just good enough to deal with the blasphemers in his mind there in Jerusalem. He wanted to go now to Damascus, which is a pretty good horse ride away. Go to Damascus so that if he found any who were of the way, that's the early church, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, somebody say suddenly. I love suddenly. Don't you love suddenly? So many times in Scripture, we come across suddenly because there's this freight train that's moving down the tracks, hurtling toward a destiny that we don't want. And suddenly, come on, in the midnight hour when Paul was in the prison and his feet are in the stocks, the word says, as they were getting ready in the morning to execute him, suddenly there was an earthquake. In the midnight hour when it looked like Pharaoh and all the people of Egypt were going to destroy the children of Israel, suddenly there was a change. I love God's suddenlies and how he brings us suddenlies because he loves you and he loves me. And he's a sudden kind of God sometimes to change the whole situation. And I want to tell you this morning that some of you who desperately need to hear from Jesus this morning, I hear him saying that there is a suddenly getting ready to come to your life. There is a suddenly getting ready to completely change everything that you thought you were preparing for the long haul. He's going to suddenly change it in a moment's time. Suddenly, a light shone around him from heaven. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice saying to him. He heard. Present tense, he was hearing a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And here's the funny part about this whole thing. He's having a conversation with Jesus. He's having the conversation that's initiating his second chance. All of it right here is happening. We don't see it right here in black and white, or in your Bible maybe in red for Jesus' words. But the amazing second chance, if you can see it, if you have eyes to see, you can see the second chance happening right before our eyes. Saul gets up and he's blinded. And Jesus says this in answer to this question. He says, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. Trembling, he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He was doing what he thought he had heard God say all along, but this is the first time that he's taking the chance to hear what God is saying. God, what are you saying to me? What should I be doing? Because you're telling me what I'm doing isn't right, so what should I be doing? And essentially what he's saying, and you can read that later on if you like, he's saying, I'm Jesus, and I want you to listen to what I'm going to tell you to do. You know, and for most of us, a second chance is going to be hinging on us hearing God. Some of us are in need this morning, this very morning, we're in need of a second chance. And the second chance is amazing because it comes not based upon what my heart says. How many of you does your heart kind of constantly condemn you? Come on, you can be honest. This is where transformation takes place. This is the place where we can be honest because we want to hear what God is saying. Constantly, our hearts are condemning us. Well, you didn't do this enough. You didn't pray enough. You didn't fast enough. You didn't read enough. You didn't talk to enough people. You didn't pray for this one enough. And it's always, we didn't do enough. Or we did something, like Saul, we were doing things that were really bad. We were doing things that were really wrong. We were ravaging. We were doing all these things, caught up in our mess of sin. Last verse, this is 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 12. I love this verse. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And listen to this. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Church, if this guy Saul, and I mean no disrespect by saying this guy Saul, but if this man Saul, who was a blasphemer and a persecutor, and he did these horrific things to people who had their heart set on Jesus, if he was given a second chance, even when what he was doing he thought was right, he was given a second chance. I ask you, what could possibly stand as undeserving of a second chance when those things were forgiven by the amazing grace of God. And I want you to know this morning that if your heart is condemning you, if your mind, that voice that speaks constantly, you know the one I'm talking about, that voice that's constantly, the one that when you're doing things, that voice that speaks, it's not a devil. That's our carnal nature. It's our mind. It's our thoughts. It's those things that are trying to condemn us. But John tells us God is greater than our hearts. And I want you to know that there is a second chance available for each and every one of us. And he wants to base it on the simple fact of you and me hearing God presently. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much this morning that we're not left hanging out into the breeze, twisting in the wind, God, caught up in our own sin, caught up, Father, in our own mistakes, and God, the things that we've done that have hurtled us along into destruction. But God, you're a God of second chances. You're a God who speaks to us that you desire us to hear your voice right now. Father, my heart today is that you would speak. Jesus, I ask you, right here, right in the midst of us, continue to speak your voice of grace and abundant mercy to those who need to hear that this morning. Those who need to hear that you're forgiven. Those who need to hear that all is washed under the blood of my Son. Those of you who need to hear that there is a tomorrow available for you. That there is something else that you have in mind. God, I ask that you release that over your church this morning. And I thank you for the second chances. And I thank you that you love us so much, God, that we can be a part of a church family. God, that we can grow in you together. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's a good word, Brian. Thank you, man. Let's let Brian know we appreciate him this morning, man. That is a good word. That's a good word, man. All right, why don't we stand up? We're going to take our offering at this time. So let's bring our prayer team up front here. This is our closing song. We're going to have some ministry time, but wow. I just got this word quickened, just like dropped into my spirit. I just got this word suddenly. I feel like today can be a suddenly.
Yeah.
Today. Today can be your suddenly. Think about this. Suddenly. It suddenly means right now.
Right now.
Right now. So I just got this word that a couple suddenlies are going to happen here today. If you're open, God can suddenly do something. One of the things that came into my spirit is when I was talking to Tori, I just felt like the Holy Spirit was suddenly speaking to some of you about doing mission work. Today, like he just spoke to you. This is his will for your life. And I just want to tell you that you want to run with that. Personally, I think everybody should do at least one mission trip. You know, get out there and go to another country. But I just sense this more, especially some of you young people. I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, you ought to do this suddenly. Ryan, a couple thoughts?
Yeah, actually, while I was preaching, I'm having this conversation with the Lord, and I'm remembering my grandfather. He was a World War II veteran, and just before he died, I went to see him, and he wasn't saved. And when I went to talk to him, I wanted to talk to him about Jesus. He kept telling me, he said, "Son, you don't know the things that I've done. God can't forgive me." And I just kept hearing that and hearing that and hearing that. And I want to say this morning, what I was feeling in my spirit was two things. If that's you this morning, if there's a place that there are things that you've kind of hidden behind a closed door because you just don't feel that there's forgiveness, I really hear this morning that those things specifically, things that some of you have carried for years, it's going to be dropped away today, this morning, if you'll allow them. And the second thing I heard, it was specific to, it could be a woman or multiple women, but what I heard the Holy Spirit say was there's some severe emotional trauma that you've been dealing with. Really, it's caught you in a tailspin. You don't know which way is up, which way is down. All you can think about is that thing, that emotional thing that's just got you in such a furor. And what I heard him say this morning is that thing, he's going to bring peace to it this morning. I know, Josh, you were reiterating peace, that God will bring peace. I just kept hearing him say that there is peace coming to you this morning for that thing specifically. He's going to chop it off.
one last suddenly.
Amen.
So we're reading the story of Saul from chapter 8 to chapter 9. In one chapter, he's a persecutor, and then he's a preacher.
Yeah.
Suddenly.
That's awesome.
He didn't even go to like seminary or anything. Just
that might
one
have
chapter,
to do with
that's
it.
Just not right, man. But if there's some of you here today, and maybe you're recognizing you're not hearing the voice of God.
Yeah.
You know, if we had to break this down as far as salvation really hinges on this. Do you hear the voice of God? Do you know God?
Amen.
Simply, that's it. Do you have a relationship with Him? And if you're standing here this morning and you're recognizing, something's missing. I need to break through. I believe it can be your suddenly. You can go from chapter 8 to chapter 9 here today. So we're going to close with a song. We've got people up here. Love to pray with you. If you want some prayer, if you have some other needs this morning, just want some prayer, this is that time for that personal ministry for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. So we'll close out with this song.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
That's so precious.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Nothing.
nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Thank you for the blood, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We praise your name. That concludes our service. Have a great week. Be blessed, and we'll see you here next week.